All right, as you are getting seated now, I invite you to open your Bible with me to Mark chapter 4. And if you don't have a Bible with you, you can reach underneath your seat there and grab one of those pew Bibles and open it up with us to Mark chapter 4 as we continue our series working through the Gospel of Mark. And last week we looked at the parable of the sower, which is probably one of the most familiar parables of Jesus. And so today we are going to pick up right after the parable of the sower, starting in verse 21, reading through verse 34. Hear now the word of the Lord. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning and we acknowledge that our minds are feeble, we are often confused, we are often darkened in our understanding. Lord, we need the light of your word to illuminate our minds, so that we can understand you, so that we can follow your paths and your ways. So we pray that you would do that this morning. By the power of your Spirit, would you illuminate your word so that we might understand it and believe it and accept it and receive it and obey it and treasure it every day of our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go back with me to the very first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, where we saw that when Jesus began his ministry in Mark 1:15, he said these very significant words. He said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now, with these words, Jesus was announcing that a new kingdom was at hand, or a new kingdom was breaking into the world right before their very eyes. This was a kingdom that was foretold by the Old Testament prophets. If you read the prophets, you see that they spoke of a day when God's kingdom would come into this world. For instance, the prophet Daniel talked about a day when in Daniel 2:44, "The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever." So when Jesus announced that the kingdom of God was at hand, he was making this radical announcement that the kingdom which was promised in the prophets was now beginning to break into the world with his arrival. However, even though Jesus made it clear that he was fulfilling these Old Testament prophecies, he made it clear also through his teaching that he was fulfilling them in a surprising and unexpected way. We might say in a strange way. And one of the places where he made this clear was in his teaching about the kingdom through these parables, the parables of the kingdom. Our passage today contains several short parables in a row, and each of them are a little bit different. They talk about different things. They refer to slightly different things. But what they all have in common is that they're all about the kingdom of God. And what Jesus is showing us in these parables is that his kingdom operates differently than every other kingdom that you can imagine. Take a look at all the kingdoms of the world today. The kingdom of America, or the kingdom of Canada, or the kingdom of Brazil, or whatever you want to call it. I know we don't usually use the word kingdom, we use the word country, but these are worldly kingdoms. And Jesus wants us to see that all the kingdoms of this world, throughout every century, throughout history, they operate according to certain standards, but his kingdom operates in a totally different way. And in fact, what you see through his parables of the kingdom is that his kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. It operates in a way that from the world's perspective seems totally backwards or seems upside down. And we're going to see this over and over again throughout the Gospel of Mark. This was an upside down kingdom. It was a strange kingdom. It was as if Jesus was trying to say to the people who were listening, the kingdom is here, but it is different than you thought it was going to be. It's different than what you expected it to be. In fact, Jesus has already made clear, I didn't come to fulfill your expectations. In fact, many people during his day were expecting the wrong things. And he says his kingdom is completely different. So, in these little parables that we came across today, what do they tell us about his kingdom? Let's look at three things this morning. The first is that the kingdom appears or arrives in ways that are inconspicuous. It appears or arrives in ways that are inconspicuous. Verse 21 says, he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or a bed or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the teaching of a lamp or a light is something that Jesus brought up more than once during his ministry. And sometimes he would use the image of a lamp or a light to talk about the Christian life. So, for instance, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, don't hide your light under a basket, but actually let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so it was an image he liked to use to refer to the Christian life. But in this particular parable, this particular instance, Jesus is doing something a little bit different here. Because when he talks about a lamp here, he isn't talking about just any lamp, but he's talking about a very specific lamp. And the lamp he's talking about is himself. Part of the reason we know this is because the original Greek of verse 21 actually uses the definite article to talk about this lamp. So a literal translation would be, instead of it saying, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket, it more literally translated, it would be, does the lamp come in to be put under a basket? In other words, he's talking about a specific lamp in this instance, and it's himself. He's the light of the world who has come in. And he didn't come in to be covered up. He came in to shine before the world. However, as we've already seen, the great paradox in Mark is that even though he came to shine, a lot of people didn't see it. A lot of people, for many people, he was still hidden. It was as if he came and he was this great light, but his appearance and his arrival was inconspicuous. They did not recognize him. And so, as we have said before in previous messages, the king and his kingdom were apparent to some people, but they remained obscure and hidden to other people. It was not obvious that Jesus was the king who had come to bring in a new kingdom. In fact, you know, when it came to Jesus' appearance, there was nothing special about him. In fact, the scriptures tell us that he looked quite ordinary. He didn't look extraordinary. When it came to his accomplishments, it didn't seem like Jesus really accomplished that much during his life. He refused to pursue political aspirations, even though people wanted him to pursue political aspirations and try to overthrow the Roman government, but he refused to do that. And so it seemed like he accomplished, in human terms, very little. And in fact, when you get to the end of his life, it seems like he was a complete failure. He was convicted as a criminal. He was condemned to death. And you get to the end of his life, and if you were living during the time of Jesus, it would not appear at all as if this was a king who was bringing a new kingdom into the world. It would not have appeared that way at all. And yet, Jesus says he is bringing a new kingdom into the world. But the thing you need to see here is that the kingdom was arriving in an inconspicuous way. It wasn't obvious to everyone. Many people didn't recognize him. Biblical scholar David Garland says, God's glory is revealed indirectly in disarming ways through riddling parables, weakness, suffering, and death. The mystery of the relationship of Jesus to God's reign will become clearer after his death on the cross and his resurrection, after his earthly ministry, but even then it will go unrecognized by those who grope in their own darkness. Many will remain clueless until the end because their eyes have been blinded by the dazzle of this world's fond hopes and because their ears have been deafened by the din of this present evil age. It was true in Mark's day. It's true in our day as well. There were many people in Mark's day who recognized Jesus as the king and that his kingdom was coming, and many people did not. For many people, it was not obvious at all. And the same is true in our day. The kingdom of God, according to Christ, has begun breaking into the world, but it will not often appear that way. The church will often look very weak and even unsuccessful from the world's perspective. But you know who else looked very weak and unsuccessful? Jesus looked very weak, and he looked very unsuccessful. And his kingdom appears in ways that are inconspicuous. Now, in this parable, he's telling us that one day his kingdom will be visible to all. He says that one day what is hidden will be manifest, and one day what is secret will be made known to all when he comes again. But in the meantime, his kingdom will be inconspicuous in this world. So what should we do while we wait? Well, we should keep paying attention. Verse 24 says, he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This couple of verses, Jesus is telling us a very simple truth. He's already said that some people recognize him and others don't. And what he's saying here is that your degree of openness to Jesus and your receptivity to Jesus will determine how much you receive from Jesus. Your degree of openness to his teaching will determine how much truth you end up getting out of his teaching. So if you are open to Jesus and you want to hear from Jesus and you're receptive to Jesus, you're going to receive more and more and more spiritual knowledge, more spiritual truth, more blessing from him. On the other hand, if you are cynical towards Jesus, you are closed to his teaching, you're uninterested in it, then you're going to receive over time less and less spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge, spiritual truth. So the application is clear. He says, pay attention. His kingdom is breaking into the world, but it's breaking in ways that are inconspicuous. Doesn't make them any less real. The world says what is real is what you can see with your eyes. The gospel says the things that are the most real are things that are not immediately obvious. So don't allow the appearance of what is going on in the age to blind you to the reality of what God's word says. This is our problem over and over again. We go through life allowing ourselves and our emotions to be jerked around by what the world appears to look like. And the Bible says, don't go by appearances. Go by what God's word says. Go by what Christ says. That is the truest reality, not what appearances look like. And so the kingdom will appear in ways that are inconspicuous. Here's the second truth. The kingdom progresses through means that seem ineffective. Look at verse 26. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, this is interesting because this is the second time in this chapter where Jesus has used the image of someone sowing seeds. We saw last week the parable of the sower, which was about a farmer sowing seeds. But in that parable, we saw that the emphasis was on the different types of soil. And in this parable, this time, the emphasis is not on the soils, but on the process of the growth. Okay? So notice that in this parable, the growth is not the result of the farmer, but it comes from the power of the seed itself. It says, the farmer scatters seed on the ground. And then what does he do? He goes to sleep. And he doesn't really do anything else. He scatters the seed, he goes to sleep, and then it sprouts and grows without him. Verse 28 says, the earth produces by itself. The Greek word is automate, which is where we get the word automatic. It just automatically happens. The idea is that this growth is coming independently of the farmer. There's no human agency or human effort that is involved here. And Jesus is showing us a profound lesson, and that is that the kingdom of God is not something that we can advance through human efforts, or it's not something that we can usher in through human efforts. There were people in his day who thought that way. We talked a few weeks ago about the Zealots. Well, the Zealots were a political party, and they wanted to usher in the kingdom of God by force. They advocated violent armed rebellion against Rome because they thought that if they could just get a good violent armed rebellion together, they could bring the kingdom of God in by human force. And Jesus is saying, in part, in this parable, the kingdom does not happen through human agency. It comes from the power of God alone. We can't bring it about. Only God can bring it about. And that has a radical impact on the way we understand our lives and the way we do ministry in the world. You know, our job is to scatter the seeds by sharing the gospel. It's not our job to produce the results. We have no power over the results. The results are up to God. Success, again, does not depend upon the farmer, but it depends upon the seed. So it's our job to faithfully sow seeds. Keep on sowing, keep on sowing, keep on sowing. And it's God's job to bring about the kingdom, to produce the results. This also means that the kingdom will progress through means that seem ineffective to the world around us. Think about this for a minute. I mean, sowing seeds, which we've already seen earlier in Mark 4, is a symbol for what? It's a symbol for scattering the word, sharing the word. And if that is one of our primary roles as a church and as Christians today, that seems like, from a worldly perspective, not a very effective strategy. I mean, the world's going to say, well, yeah, you can keep doing that, but who's going to listen? What difference is that going to make? What difference is it going to make to share the gospel, to share the word of God, to just keep sharing these realities? That just doesn't seem like a very effective strategy to make anything tangible or big happen in the world today. And yet, Jesus says the kingdom will progress through means that often seem ineffective to the world. You know, at Highview, many of you know, we are a church that is centered on the gospel, and the reason that we believe being focused on the gospel is so important is because the gospel is the message that God has commanded us to preach. It is the only message that has the power to transform lives. Paul says in Romans, the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So this is the message that we are called to be about. But some of you have heard me say before, we are a church that does not just want to be focused on God's message, but also we want to be using God's methods. Okay, I'm going to say that again. We don't just want to be a church that focuses on God's message, but we want to be a church that follows God's methods. God has not just given us a message to preach in His Word. He's also given us the methods that He wants us to use in order to bring transformation in people's lives and in the world. What are those methods? Well, in Reformed theology, we call them the ordinary means of grace. These are the things that God has established to build His church. What are they? Well, the primary three are the Word, prayer, the sacraments, and we could add to that list gathering, and worshiping with God's people. These are what we call the ordinary means of grace. These are the things God has established, the methods he has given in his word that he says bring transformation in people's lives, that he says are the things that build his church. Now, if you look at that list, none of those things are particularly flashy, are they? They don't seem particularly flashy. They're quite ordinary, which is why they're called the ordinary means of grace. But we believe gospel transformation comes when we are not just committed to preaching God's message, but also using his methods. Now, I say this because the question we need to ask ourselves is Christians in the world today, not just at Highview, but all Christians in the world, is do we trust the methods that God has given us? Or do we trust our own methods more? There is a constant temptation in the Christian life to say, well, yeah, we know these are the things that God says bring transformation, but surely there are more effective ways to bring about transformation or to advance God's kingdom or to build his church. There's a constant temptation to use other methods to think that, well, we know better. You know, for many people, it just doesn't seem like these things are enough. And so instead, we might try to use flashy programs or entertainment or clever marketing. And a lot of churches do. And I'll admit that those things, you can draw a crowd with many human methods. You can draw a crowd. But if we rely on those methods, first of all, we're buying into the notion that we can build God's church and advance God's kingdom by human power rather than by God's power. That it's in our control and that our methods are better than God's methods. And I once heard it said, and I think it's true, that if we can figure out a way to build the church apart from the Word of God and prayer, then we're not building the church, we're building something else. If we can figure out a way to build the church apart from the Word of God and prayer, apart from the ordinary means of grace, we might be building something, but it's not the church of Jesus Christ. It's some kind of human, man-made thing. Because God has given us the message, he's given us the methods, and he says, these are the things that bring about transformation. These are the things that advance the kingdom. And they will often seem ineffective to the world around us, or even maybe to us, they may seem ineffective, but the kingdom cannot be brought about by human effort. And so with the farmer scatters seeds, just as a farmer scatters the seeds but trusts that God will bring that growth, we continue to use the means God has given, trusting that God is going to build his kingdom to advance his church. So here's the last truth, and that is that the kingdom flourishes through things that seem insignificant. Kingdom flourishes through things that seem insignificant. We like things that are significant, don't we? We like big things. We like flashy things. We like earth-shattering things. We like things that catch all the attention of the community. That's the stuff we like. We like stuff that really gets attention, that draws a crowd. Well, the kingdom flourishes through things that seem insignificant. Verse 30 says, he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable should we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth, and yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Now, some people have looked at this parable over the years and they've accused Jesus of making a mistake. Because they've said, well, Jesus says here the mustard seed is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth, but botanists will tell you that there are numerous other seeds that are smaller than mustard seeds. So Jesus clearly was off base. He didn't know what he was talking about, and therefore the Word of God is not without error. The Word of God is not infallible because Jesus made this mistake. Well, that is a great illustration of missing the point. That's perhaps one of the greatest illustrations of not only misunderstanding what Jesus was saying, but missing the entire point. When Jesus says that the mustard seed is the smallest of all the seeds in the earth, he's not trying to make a scientific statement. He was using hyperbole, and he was using it as an example. He's saying, here, this is one of the smallest seeds you will find. But that seed, which one would look at and would say, how could something so tiny produce anything of significance, will actually grow into an enormous plant. Something, the results that are just incomprehensible to the human mind. I mean, my mind does not take that much to be impressed. I don't even need a mustard seed. Anytime I put any seed in the ground and see something come up, I just think to myself, how on earth is this even possible? You ever feel that way? I mean, right now, there's stuff starting to come out of the ground right now. The stuff you don't have to plant the seeds for, which is what I like. I like the stuff that just comes up every year because I'm not a very good gardener. But the fact that a seed of any size can be put into the ground and then all of a sudden life is coming up, major sized plants are emerging from something that is so tiny that seems so insignificant. And Jesus is trying to get us to look at that and see a truth, which is that God's kingdom actually emerges and flourishes through things that will seem totally insignificant. Not through big, impressive things. That's what we want. And even in the church today, people want big, impressive stuff. But actually, Jesus says, you're focusing on the wrong stuff because kingdom does not emerge and flourish through big, impressive stuff. It actually emerges small, seemingly insignificant things. Now, this is a huge encouragement for believers today, I feel, because it is a reminder that every single believer has extreme significance. Every single labor that you and I complete on behalf of Christ may have a major significant impact in eternity in God's kingdom because Jesus says that mustard seeds become giant significant plants. Sometimes it can be hard to recognize that and to trust that. It can be hard to live by faith in the world today where God has placed us because it just feels sometimes like our lives are insignificant and it feels like we are not making any impact in the things that we are trying to do. I'm guessing there's some people sitting here this morning who are feeling that way right now. You may be feeling discouraged because it feels like whatever you're pouring your energy into, it just doesn't seem like it's going to produce any lasting impact. You know, maybe you're feeling discouraged because in your career, you're trying to serve others, you're trying to serve Christ, you're trying to make a difference in the community around you, and yet it just seems like your labors are not making any impact, or at least not the impact that you would like to see. Or maybe you're feeling discouraged as a parent because you're trying to raise children and you keep sowing seeds and sowing seeds and sowing seeds and it just seems like the seeds aren't doing anything, or it seems like all of the labors day after day after day aren't going anywhere. They're not producing any impact. They're not making any difference. Or maybe you're feeling discouraged because you're trying to do some kind of ministry or volunteer on behalf of others, and yet it just seems like those labors, the year after year or month after month, they just don't seem like they're really producing any kind of harvest. And so you can say, boy, is this really, does this have any significance? It just feels insignificant. And yet, the mustard seed says that the kingdom actually emerges and flourishes through things that seem insignificant. And so, even when we are doing things that may feel insignificant to us, they have eternal significance as God uses us to build his kingdom. To quote R.C. Sproul, he wrote this. He said, God can use the smallest words that we speak, the smallest service that we give, and bring a kingdom out of it. And this points not to the greatness of the mustard seed, but the greatness of God, who works every day to bring about his plan for the ages. God is at work even now, building his kingdom, not with entertainment, not with flash, not with all the pizzazz that we try to conjure up, but by obedience to his word, which is attended by his spirit, so that the kingdom grows and grows until the day when the Lord of the harvest comes for his fruit. With the arrival of Jesus, the kingdom was and is breaking into the world. But it was not the kind of kingdom people were expecting. They were expecting a kingdom that was grand and obvious and powerful. But these parables say that Christ's kingdom comes through things that are small, obscure, and even weak. It's an upside-down kingdom. And so consequently, the kingdom remains hidden to many people, but it's not hidden because the problem is with the kingdom. It's hidden because the people are looking for the wrong things. And so still today, the kingdom is not going to fit in with all of our expectations. You know, many people want Christ's kingdom to be flashy. They want his kingdom to be powerful. And if that's what you're looking for, then you're probably going to be disappointed in Christ's kingdom during your lifetime. The work of Christ will rarely probably make headlines. And to most people, it's going to seem inconsequential. But Christ's kingdom is advancing, and it's present nonetheless. It appears in ways that are inconspicuous. It progresses through means that seem ineffective. It flourishes through things that seem insignificant. And so that means that even when we don't see the kingdom flourishing, even when we don't see God's hand at work, we can trust that there is more going on than what meets the eye. We can trust that even when our labors seem like they're just ineffective, God is using those labors in his eternal plan and as part of his kingdom. And we can trust that even when our lives seem totally insignificant, in the scope of eternity, in eternity, it's not going to be the big flashy things that have made the greatest impact. What does Jesus say it's going to be? It's going to be the mustard seeds that are going to surprise everyone in the kingdom as to what they have become and what God has done through our small little lives, our small little churches, our insignificant, seemingly insignificant existences, because this is what Christ's kingdom is about, and this is who Jesus is.